Well, good morning. I guess I'm not going to bother clipping this. Not much to clip to. This is the uniform that we wore down there. And a couple weeks ago, I stood up here and I said I didn't know what we were doing down there. And now I know. So I'm going to share that with you a little bit. Singing the song this morning about what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. And, you know, he has no rival. It literally is so true, so true. And we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to really kind of go quick through this, and then we've got about a five-minute video, and then they're going to do one of the skits that we did for the children. All right, we have permission. All right, thank you. But still, I think they'd rather listen to you than to me. All right, where was I? Thinking of Jesus and his greatness, you know, I just want to point out giving little food packets to the homeless right in our own city, I feel is of more recognition almost than going to a foreign country. And yet it is really no difference in the whole spectrum of things there. So what did we do while we were there? It was very a very simple schedule is what we had. I do have to say one thing, though. Speaking about miracles that happened, we weren't on the ground more than about half an hour down there, and we had our first miracle. We came out of the airport, and as it is in many foreign countries, there's a lot of people jostling around, and it's probably not quite as organized as it is here. But we got out of the airport, we're waiting for some of the group, and the car was there. It wasn't really an illegal parking spot, and so a cop comes up, and he starts informing us he's going to write a ticket. And he did. So we're there. We figured once we paid the ticket, we'd take a few more minutes. And as he's returning back again after that, Rich looks at me and says, "You're driving, and your family goes in this vehicle." So, okay, we were loaded quick, and we hopped in and drove off about as the cop starts walking up the back there. And I went out to the airport entrance and waited for the rest of the group. We were in three different vehicles. So after a bit, Rich was leading the group, and Rich is the gentleman in the back corner here. I think he'll speak a little bit at the end. Rich, raise your hand. So he was leading the group, and we had two SUVs in addition to a 19-passenger van or 15, something like that, held quite a few people. And we go driving down the road, and it's Guatemala. So it's interesting, to say the least. Not my first time driving in Central America. I'm very comfortable with that. But lots of traffic. We got separated quite a bit at one time. We were probably half a mile apart. And it went well. It went well while we were there. Driving went. We drove all the way to Chamal. Now it was our first stop, probably 40 minutes or so drive. And I went to turn off the vehicle, and I don't have any modern vehicles. I go up to turn the key off. There's no key. So you know how the new modern vehicles are? You have the key fob in your pocket. You jump in it. You push the button, and away you go. That's how this vehicle was. The only thing was I didn't have a key fob. Rich had that in his pocket. So we're scratching our heads. This vehicle should not have run. For all purposes, it was a stolen vehicle. But it didn't shut off. It kept on running. So we never tried that later, but I did do the key fob. And it was the first thing I thought about. Well, someone told us we're going to have miracles in this trip. Here was the first one. At least mechanically, that shouldn't have worked. So anyway, that was the first night. We got there. Then our schedule was pretty basic, very simple. In the morning, we did one or two schools, did almost the same thing at each school. We would go in. There was often, I would say anywhere from 100 to, at some schools, probably 300 to 400 kids would gather in there Either their gym, some of the large schools had a gym indoors, or a concrete area outdoors where they an outdoor gym where they played. And we would give a little program for the kids. We had three or four skits we would do. They were all had to relate with how sin binds us up and how Christ sets us free. And very interesting, the opportunities that we had. These were not private Christian schools. These were government public schools for all purposes. And we were allowed to go in, pray, sing. We'd even have altar calls for the kids to come up and pray. And interestingly, after those skits, there were a couple schools where the kids actually stampeded to the front to be prayed with. And as they said, when we asked them, well, we don't want the devil to control our lives. Very, very interesting. At one school, one of the administrators, again, a public student, a public employee, brought a girl with a cleft palate to us, and they had taken her for an operation for her cleft palate, which looks kind of ugly, and they found out she had a heart murmur, and so they couldn't do the operation. She also had cataracts in her eyes. So all treatable issues, but she comes from a very poor, poor home, which they have no money to treat. Now, she brought the child to us to lay hands on and pray with. And I don't say this other than just to say the opportunities are endless in this scenario. So let me back up to before we went. I ordered about 120 of the little booklets, the Gospel of John, from the Pocket Testament League. It was the same group that I went to China with a couple years ago. And as a family, it was our goal to each give out about 10 of these little Gospels to someone who really wanted it. So here in America, that's a pretty difficult job. We only had 2 weeks, 10 each. Different of the children said, Dad, this is pretty hard. And I said, I know, but I think we can do this. So we had about 120 of those. We went into the first school. We landed on a Monday. And Danelle and Devon were actually there a week earlier, so we had a little reunion to meet them. But we landed on a Monday. Tuesday morning, we're in the school. And the kids wanted anything you would give them, but particularly the Gospels. They really liked those little booklets. They're beautiful little booklets. And guess what? Do the math, 14 days, we can only give out less than 10 a day or we run out. So we'd go into a school with 10 of them. And I'm pretty sure at the first school, we got rid of more than 10. But very quickly, you'd go down on your knees, look the little kids in the eyes and say, which of you is willing to read this to your friends? Because we don't have enough for anybody. So who's willing to read to your friends? Are you? No, are you? Yep, yep. Okay, you get one and you read to all your friends. And that's difficult. We're talking about God's word. It's something special. It's not a pencil, it's not a gift, it's God's word. It can change their lives. And we didn't have enough. We could have lined those kids up and given away a couple hundred easily. And those kids would have all taken them home. Two little instances resulting out of that that really touched my heart. We stayed in a hotel the second weekend we were there. And the little boy and his father was reading one of these Gospels together. So we had given one to the little boy, and him and his dad were sitting down and reading this. And I was like, wow, you know, really? That's touching. Then on, I believe it was Sunday, the first Sunday after we were there, so it's from Tuesday to Sunday, we were doing a little shopping, little souvenir shopping. So we did take a couple little breaks like that to have a little fun. I think we did one day. And we're standing in the market and going from booth to booth. And I was standing there kind of waiting for the rest and watching, you know, just making sure everything's okay. And I look down. There's this little girl standing right by my elbow. She's just standing there with her arms folded, just standing there. And she'd look up at me. And she'd look up and down. And I looked down at her, and I recognized her from the school that we had been the previous Tuesday. And I said, hello, how are you in Spanish? You know, my Spanish is kind of broken. And her face just started to beam, and I said, you were there. You agreed to read to your friends, right? Yes, yes, yes. And she pulled this little book out. She says, yeah, I still have it. And she had it in her dress. And then she says, I have two friends. Could they have one too, each? And yes, I had a couple, so I pulled them out. I said, absolutely. The girls came up, and I gave them these little booklets. And instantly, there's, you know, 10 or 15 people around that also wanted Gospels. And I'm out again. There's just not enough. And it was really touching as to what the opportunity is to spread the gospel. So I spent a lot of time talking about that part of it. That was our mornings usually. We would go to the schools. In the afternoon, we would spend lunch at the Reichert's for the first week. The second week, we were in San Lucas. And then we would have lunch there and then do work projects. So I was on fence detail. The boys did painting. The girls did paint. You know, we just did projects that they needed to have done. And there's a lot of stuff that needed to be done there. And then head back to our mission camp compound is where we spent most of the time. So it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. Really, it just left a lot of opportunities, a lot of questions. How much can we do? Where do we go from here? Who does what? But literally, by the end of the trip, I was at one of the schools, and that school was one of the ones where the kids stampeded for prayer and then books. And I actually had to get a little rough with a couple of them. I knocked a couple of them down because they were stampeding and there was a kid underneath. That's how desperate they were. When we called them up for prayer, they pushed so hard against the front ones, and we were on like a stage, that you know, it was hard for them to breathe. And that's it's just hard to describe the hunger that was there. And then I just pictured what it would have looked like in my mind's eye. I saw the kids all around the perimeter of the gym where we were. They'd get in lines and wait all day for a little gift. But we could have probably given out, I don't know, at that school there was between 700 and 800 kids total, and we probably had 300 or 350 in the gym at that time. We could have given each one a gospel. And then I thought, wow, what it would be if we would go to all of these schools in a city, in 1 week's time, try to reach the whole city through the kids and send gospels into a lot of the homes. It's a sobering opportunity, but imagine another 10 or 15 years as these kids grow up, what an impact. Also, the government has done a wonderful job of getting education to a lot of these forgotten corners of the world down there. The older generation, like from 45, 50 on up, a lot of them don't know how to read when you get out in the country. But the kids are going to school, they're learning to read, and the kids will take this home and read it to their parents. It's not a religiously dark, dark society. There's a lot of Catholics down there. Evangelicalism has actually overtaken the Catholics. But there's a lot of, darkness within those religious circles. So I feel to give a message like that of gospel and hope to the children, not without denomination, no, just the pure gospel with a plan of salvation. Tremendous opportunity to change a life and break the life cycle. The Guatemalan culture is like a lot of Latin cultures. It's often a matriarchal household. So you have grandma, mom, daughter. And as the kids grow up, the girls will often move in with a guy and they have one or two children. And then the guy gets tired of them. She moves back with her mother and grandmother. You know, there's a lot of that floating around. So the cycle keeps perpetuating itself. And if we can get the gospel into the young children, what a difference it has a potential to make as they absorb that. So anyway, that was my burden. I wasn't going to share that all here at the beginning, but you gave me the opportunity, so it's all your fault. I don't know where God wants us to fit in with all of this plan. I don't know what we can or can't do at this point. We're doing a little research as to how we can get, you know, like a couple hundred thousand or at least 100,000 Gospels down there as a start. My long-term vision that I had there was a map of Guatemala and all the towns being marked off as they were distributed. Will that ever happen? I don't know. But God knows, and we leave that up to Him. We plan to have this all done in about 15 minutes, and I probably have taken almost all of our 15 minutes, and He's okay with that. But we have a little five-minute video, and it has a lot of pictures in it. So each video, has pictures. We try to give it enough time that you'll be able to see it. But if you've got questions, anyone here in the blue T-shirts, Rich, also Danielle, will you raise your hand? She's really shy. She didn't raise it very high. She's sitting right in front of Rich. I don't think there's anything in these photos that anyone wouldn't know about. So if you've got questions about the mission there, things that we did, David Reichert's are doing well, I would say. They've just completed, built a nice school, a really, really nice school facility there. Their children are anywhere from little to growing up and everything in between. I would say they're doing well. We had a great time with them, and I know some of you here know them. So any questions you have with that, feel free to ask afterward. We're going to play the video, and then the children are going to do one of the skits that we did down there, a little song program that we did, I think, everywhere we went. And then, Rich, if you would just have a few words at the end, and thank you for your time and your prayers while we were there.
By the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will go. By the Lord of wind and plain, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them, my hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I will go, Lord,
While they're getting everything together for this first one of these skits, I want to thank you all, because prayer is something we greatly need while we're in Guatemala. Every morning, we have our prayer and devotional time, and in the evening, we have what we call a debriefing time to go over what the Lord has done and how he has touched each individual's hearts while we're down there. But we couldn't do it without yous back here putting that hedge around us to keep us safe. Guatemala is not a safe country. If you go into McDonald's, you'll find armed guards standing outside with sawed-off shotguns, all right? It's not a very safe country, but it's a country in great need. And speaking about one of those needs, in the first week while we were down there, Guatemala has a lot of alcohol issues, from teenagers all the way up through the adult men. It's mostly in the men's, because the women are usually trying to get their husbands to stop drinking, because it takes what little funds they have. But I am very grateful to this body here who supported the Sports and Rumors, and wasn't easy for them to get $13,000 together to go down. But the Lord blessed them with that and honored their willingness to go. And Sue and Kervin were a great blessing to me. My Spanish is poquito, very small. And having Sue and Kervin there was a very big burden off of my shoulders. I didn't need to pull someone from the town to do the Spanish translation. Sue jumped right in. A little push, but then she jumped, okay? But more important to me, the way the Holy Spirit was moving, I want to give you one quick story, actually two quick ones. The first one was Danelle. Not realizing it, I don't believe at first, but he and Danielle came up with a new skit on the fly while we were down there. And I don't think he realized at first the impact that the skit he had come up with was going to work. Basically, he went out with what we were translating as a bottle of alcohol. And he'd get himself into a drunken stupor where Satan would come out and attack him. And I mean attack him. Pushed him around, slapped him around, and then bind his hands together with duct tape. I didn't know this boy had this kind of power in his body, but God knew. We bound him with duct tape, and the enemy would continue to torment him. And then, as the scriptures tell us, we have the power to cast out demons, right? We have the power through the Holy Spirit to help someone get set free and come to Christ. Well, the enemy was attacking him. One of his friends came out and exemplified how we have the power to hold off the devil and to help him, in this case, Danielle, learn what it was like to live for Christ and how he could be set free. And Danielle, with his dramatic emphasis, would then pray, look up to God, and break those bonds. That was a skit that I don't think he realized at first. He wanted to show his power, but in reality, he was showing God's power, how God can break us free from our sins. And the other second little story that I'm going to give you real quick. Kervin was talking about how the Holy Spirit was moving. When we came back from Dave and Deb's, which those of you, I know quite a few people in here, Dave and Deb are now guarding 72 kids in their own group home and three other group homes that they are overseers to along with the school. David's a young man of 29 years old who celebrated his first Father's Day after he and Deb got married with 27 kids. He now has 72 under his responsibility. He's only 29 years old. But as we left there, we were going into San Lucas, and the people we were ministering with. We now have 17 different missionaries that we work with. But the people we were working with took us to a hospice orphanage. The hospice part of it is for AIDS patients. The orphanage portion of it is for the children of those hospice patients who are now under the care of the orphanage while their parents are being treated for AIDS or who are there permanently because their parents have died. Going into it, the missionary that we were working with said to me, do you have any gifts and stuff to give to the kids? Well, now we're on our only 4 days left, and as Kirvin said, he was running out of tracts and books of John. But I said, well, the only thing I have left is five hats. And she looked up, she said, that ain't going to be enough. That's not going to work. Don't even get them out. And I said, well, let's see what God does. We went in, the kids were guarding their eyes because it was sunny in their face. We did our skits. And then we prayed over the group. And five young men came front. Now, these guys are being treated twice a day with medicine for HIV to battle the virus that is in their system because of their parents. And it really got to me because I was physically beat by after driving to that location. I was tired, but the Lord renewed my strength because when these five boys came front and asked to have Christ in their lives, I realized that if they ever do get full-blown AIDS, they're protected by the shield of God. And when they go home, they're going to be in his arms and by his side. Where prior to that trip, or prior to that mission outreach, those five guys would have been going the other direction because they didn't know Jesus. And I told them in prayer with translations from Sue that God was going to have many, many, many gifts for them in their lives. But those five hats that I had, they each got one. They no longer have to shield their eyes. And I told them, this is from us, but God's got greater gifts for you. So that's just another story that I don't think Kirvin remembered at first. So, guys, share the one skit with them.
Soldiers' feet as they guarded the grave. One day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus breathed his last? Could it be that his father had forsaken him, turned his back on his son, despising our sin? All hell seemed to whisper, just forget him, he's dead. Then the father looked down to his son and said, arise, my love, arise, my love, the grave stood there in fright as
thank all of you that supported them, not only with your money, but with your prayer. They were a blessing to me, a blessing this. They were a blessing to me. I share Kervin's vision, praying and hoping that they will find a way to join us back down there again. This was our first year building on a family concept. We took five complete. Danielle's mother got sick and wasn't able to attend. But otherwise, we had five complete families. And it was a new concept, a new challenges, okay? Because when you got five families, five different churches, five different doctrinal beliefs, okay, and doctrinal follows, there were some glitches. But when you got the Holy Spirit and Christ on your side, no glitch is too big for him to solve. It was a wonderful trip. Kervin shared quite a bit of it with you. The country is beautiful. I'm going back again in December. There's a lot of work projects and work ministry to be done. So I'm putting it out there. If anybody wants to see Guatemala, I'll show them part of it, but we're going back for some work trips. We're going to be leaving the day after Christmas and coming home the day after New Year's. So I just wanted to put that out there. And again, I'm praying a blessing on this whole body because yous were behind us. The trip was phenomenal. It's my 15th year, and it was a pleasure to have the Schwarzenrubers with me. The young lady that you saw up here leading the trip, Danielle, has been with me 6 years on the mission field. Eight, she corrected me. Eight of my 15, she's been by my side. I took her big sister before her, but since then, she's been right there. One little prayer I'm going to ask you. I got visions of her taking over the ministry someplace down the road. So look at her. So God bless you all, and thank you for all the support that you gave the Schwarzenrubers and for all the prayers that you had behind our team. Thank you, and God bless.
I want to just thank you for blessing us, and just want to thank Schwarzenrubers and for your heart for ministry, and our hearts go out to, it's a big world, isn't it? It is. And the things that God is doing, you think of the souls that are being drawn into the kingdom. And it's a great encouragement, because we need encouragement in today's world. But then you see how God is working, and you see the power of the Spirit, and there's no one going to stop him from doing that. And so he uses us, and we can't underestimate the power of a soul sold out for Christ. And here we are in Oley, Pennsylvania, which still has me scratching my head, tongue in cheek. That I just want to thank you for the testimony that we saw today. It was a great encouragement. And so, there's power in prayer. Let's continue to pray for Guatemala, for the ministry down there, for the kids who need Christ, for the ones that are sent down there. By the Lord himself and in obedience to his calling as he draws souls into his kingdom. And as we wait for our Lord's return, we must soldier on and stand strong for him. And we can't let Satan convince us otherwise. And so we're going to finish our service this morning in song, and then Dave's going to close us in prayer. So how about we stand and let's worship the Lord.
Desperation. He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love invade, let the church live loud. Our God will save. Coming back.